mean, most of us heard about the case very soon after it happened on December 17th, the very next day. And almost immediately, the students of the Jawaharlal Nehru University, there is a very powerful student union there and student movement there. So student organizations and the union from there immediately came out on the streets to protest on the same day.
There are many gang rapes that take place in India, and they've been taking place over the years. But somehow this caught the imagination of people. For one thing, it happened in the capital city. It happened in an evening hour, which was not a late hour, 8 o'clock. A young girl and boy returning home from a movie. I mean, it was the most normal kind of behavior.
Hi, everybody. This has been a 007. Back not with a 10-minute movie review, as per normal, but with a discussion of a TV documentary. So this is rather rare for me, but I think the documentary has prompted such controversy and is so important that it merits some discussion. So the film under discussion today is India's Daughter, which is a 63-minute BBC-funded film directed by a lady called Leslie Udwin, who was the producer of the fantastically successful East is East, a British, well, comedy, but also a dramatic treatment of what it was like to grow up in a mixed-race family in England 20 or 30 years ago. So someone who obviously has some knowledge and concern with cultural misalignment, cultural problems. The documentary is about the brutal gang rape that occurred in Delhi, India, so the capital city of India, in December 2012. It's the case of Jyoti Singh. So the name has finally been released of the victim by her family, who want her case to be seen as a touch paper. She was a 23-year-old medical student who went to see a movie with her friend at 8 o'clock in the evening, was coming back home. They hitched a ride on what they thought was a private bus. The boy was brutally beaten, and then the girl was viciously gang raped and thrown out of the bus and left for dead. She did, however, survive for a few days, in which she was able to remarkably explain what happened to her and say goodbye to her parents before dying. Now, this horrific attack, I think, became seen as a symbol for the wider issues of sexual violence and misogyny in Indian society, and set off widespread protest, resulting in a commission on the rape laws in India, and a report which was incredibly liberal and asked for wider definitions of what rape constituted, and taking away the language of shame from the Indian statutes, which I think does distinguish it from those in England. But ultimately, the issues of a woman's place in society continue. And what this documentary does, which I think is fascinating, is expose those real conflicts, not just to the wider world and to those in England, but apparently, maybe, unfortunately, to those in India. Because the movie has been banned from being shown by a Delhi court. And as always, censorship backfires, especially in the age of the internet, because now the YouTube links are running wild and the BBC has brought forward its release of the film. And so has NDTV, which is an Indian news channel. And the Twitter feeds are full of comment, both back and forth about whether the film should have been aired. So I want to talk a little bit about the film and then about the controversy and kind of where I stand for what it's worth. So the film is an hour-long film. It starts off with a recreation of the acts, of course, omitting anything too traumatic, but it's still very disturbing. And it then goes to show her background, the background of the victim, that her parents were very poor, but very liberal, despite being traditional. It's an odd mix. They educated their daughter at intense cost to themselves. And that she herself was a very remarkable girl. She wanted to be a doctor. She wanted to help people. She didn't believe that being a woman should hold her back from any of this. The film then goes to explore the backgrounds of the rapists and the murderers. And perhaps most controversially, has an interview with the chap who protests that he was merely driving, but who has been convicted for her rape. And it's shocking to see him show really no apparent remorse. To his mind, if you're out walking the streets at 8 o'clock at night, you deserve what you get. This happens every day, and why this should have been so controversial, he really cannot see. So that is of itself chilling. And you see the backgrounds of the people who perpetrated the crimes, that they typically have come from incredibly poor backgrounds, would not have maybe had access to the kind of education that would give them the sort of liberal humanist norms that I would have, and therefore the respect for women that maybe we would have. And so you can kind of get an understanding of where their attitudes come from, even though they're still unforgivable. What is even more shocking, I think, is that the barristers defending those men evince the same attitudes. So one would imagine that men who have gone to law school and have risen very high in their society would have had exposure to concepts of liberal humanism and would therefore see that just because a woman is out at 8 o'clock at night doesn't mean that people have the right to rape her. But apparently not. And so it's incredibly shocking, incredibly incendiary. There's even footage of one of the lawyers saying that if his daughter was caught in a sexual relationship before marriage, he would pour gasoline on her himself and set fire to her. So this is really incredibly powerful stuff. And actually, that was the bit that made me more angry and more upset than even the recreation of the rape itself. So I think what this film does is it exposes a profound cultural schism. And I think that's fascinating for people in the West to see, because I think there is a conflation that we make with economic progress and the progress of liberalism. So we think often, mistakenly, that because a society has achieved a certain sheen of free market capitalism, as India has done, it's become incredibly successful, and in a way, as one of the commentators in this program says, that brings its own social problems, because suddenly young women have economic independence and therefore, you know, act and behave in certain ways that a traditional society might not tolerate. But as I said, I think the important thing about this documentary is that it teaches us not to conflate the fact that suddenly people now want to shop in modern shopping malls and go to the Cineplex and have designer clothes and watch Premier League football, despite the fact that they do all these superficial things that feel very much like our lives here in England or in America or anywhere else, does not mean that at a profound level they share our cultural values. One shouldn't assume this. And I think this is what the documentary shows, that what unites the poor rapist from the deprived background and the highly educated lawyer is a fundamental misogyny. And it's a misogyny that is bound and woven entirely into the fabric of a society. And one of the most important commentators, I think, on the documentary says that, well, what do you expect? You know, if from the very start of life, a young boy sees that he's given a full glass of milk and the sister's given half a glass, then... and that kind of preference towards boys occurs, then what are you expecting them to... I mean, of course they believe they're entitled to do whatever they want to do. So it's an incredible documentary. It contains unwelcome truths, I think, about Indian society that those of us, even in the Indian diaspora, know very well. You know, we can be in England or America or Canada for many, many decades, and yet you will still find, perhaps, I don't know, I don't want to speak for everyone, that a male child born is treated in a different way to a female child born. Perhaps. It just goes to show how deeply rooted some of these very prejudiced ideas are. So that's the documentary. Is it well made? I think it has unbelievable access, and that's always beneficial. I think it was right to give the rapist a platform, not because you're condoning his attitude and behaviours, but because one has to understand how he feels in order to tackle the grassroots prejudice that allows that kind of attitude to flourish. You know, you can't close your eye to a problem. You have to look it squarely in the eye to tackle it. And that's what this documentary does. There are other areas where I feel maybe more judgment might have been exercised. For instance, if you talk about how the girl was bleeding to death and then you flash to blood on the floor. I mean, is that really necessary? So yes, judgment could have been exercised differently, but the fundamental point about including the testimony of the rapist, I think, is absolutely valid and indeed necessary to move forward on this issue. However, what it has done is given the Delhi courts an excuse not to have the film shown. So it's absolutely hilarious because they can look incredibly sympathetic to the victim and say, well, we're acting in her best interest. You know, we're trying to show respect to her by not giving the rapist a platform. And that's why we're going to ban the film. And so you have this bizarre conflation of interest whereby you have, you know, left-wing people saying the film should be banned because they have sympathy for the rape victim. Ultimately, I think what you have to say is this, that the parents of the victim have cooperated fully with this program and have also, in making this program, released her name for the first time because they want to have this discussion go on. And I think you have to respect their decision to cooperate, knowing that the rapist had a platform. And as for the decision to censor this film in India, like I said, in the age of the internet, I think this utterly backfires. It needs to prompt a debate that isn't just about the sexual safety of women in India, but that is far more profound about how women are treated in a society where the fundamental traditional culture is patriarchal, and that to criticize that patriarchy should not be seen as some kind of imperialist racist project on the part of the BBC, but rather just a general discussion in a post-enlightenment age when we have other universal right norms that we can discuss in opposition to those traditional and cultural values. To that end, I think India's Daughter is so valuable as a starting point for the discussion and should be not just seen in India, but compulsory viewing in Indian schools. I mean, kids should be being taught this. Young girls should be being taught that they don't have to stay in at night, that they have every right to roam the streets at night, that nobody has the right to rape them, and that they should not feel ashamed when that happens. And young boys should be taught that they do not have the right to somehow punish girls for being sluts or whatever else they think. That just because you believe in traditional values doesn't mean you get to punish girls who don't share those values. So for what it's worth, those are my thoughts on India's Daughter. I don't think it's a perfect documentary, but I do think it's incredibly valuable and it should be supported. And I really hope that the maximum number of people in India watch it, even if they disagree with it, because this is a debate that needs to be held in the open. And I find it exceptional that the modern India of economic success has such insecurity that it cannot debate these things openly. So with that, a very serious and sad discussion, but I really would urge you to watch India's Daughter. I believe it's on BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. For those of you who are in the UK, there are still, I think, some links available on YouTube, but please do try and seek it out because it's an incredibly, incredibly powerful film to watch. With that, thank you for listening.